had to get up at 10 this afternoon. But then I tried to come into yours. And giving thanks, the Lord's great and gracious mercies unto us, for we've already crossed a new sanctuary, a place where we can worship in partners, peace and safety. For we have been many months up and down, moved from place to place. But now we will thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness, providing for us a place of worship, which we thankfully say we can call our own. We thank the Lord for all his mercies and ask him to grant his blessing on us this afternoon. And the Lord may help his servant speaking and help us each and all in hearing. It may be favoured for the blessed and happy time together. We ask these mercies for his sake. Now we will commence with singing in 369, 237.
four. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, thy soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thy waters, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baker, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright men. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all a generation. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will see thy good. Psalm 132 and the two following. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David said, turn not away the face of thy anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Though the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, then I shall teach them. Their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell and together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Here we conclude the scripture reading.
In this
the house of prayer provided for them, seek to stand in those old paths. And as prayer and praise and preaching is heard now within these walls, we seek thy blessing and pray, Lord, that thou wilt do great things for thy people. May thy glory fill the house. May thy presence be powerfully felt. May thy word be with divine power. May sinners be converted. May those that are without be gathered in. Lord, hast thou a purpose of grace, eternal love to some in this neighborhood? We pray that this may be manifested. We pray that yet others may be gathered in, called by thy grace, revealed as vessels of mercy. Lord, we long to see the moving in power of the Holy Spirit in the souls of those who do not ever come into thy house, who know thee not, strangers to prayer, strangers to thy word, strangers, O Lord, to keeping the Sabbath day, strangers to thy name, except that it is uttered by way of blessing. Lord, thy grace, thy power, thy mercy, thy love is still the same. We're convinced of it. And Lord, we pray that thy Zion may once more travail for souls, and that the churches may be made ready and prepared for such a move, if it can please thee to grant it. Bless, we pray thee then, the preaching of thy word within these walls, to be a confirming of the souls who see Jesus, who long for assurance of sin forgiven. All do grant, we pray thee, the blessings of heaven, and that thy saints may be established, shouted out for joy. We pray that the wanderer, backslider, those who have departed from thy house, turn their back upon thee, O Lord, that thy work may be manifested in the ingathering of those who wander so far from thee. O Lord, we pray that this spot may be a place of feasting for the poor and for the needy. This place may be the preparation before thy people as they come to their appointed end, that when they come to the hour of death, they may prove with a sacred, solemn blessed assurance, it is well with the soul, that the truth they heard by faith received by grace walk out, it is their support, a solid foundation, blessed comfort in the hour of death, so that when called to die, they fall asleep in Jesus. Do bless our dear friend, the deacon here. We thank thee for the help that thou hast granted him, and despite all and many difficulties, perplexities, Lord, we pray that he may be encouraged this day and in the future days, and those who have labored with him in love, in practice, and in prayer, we pray that they too may be encouraged, as we are assured that it is with a full heart of thanksgiving and praise they bow in this sanctuary this day. And we pray that our dear friend may be further helped, given wisdom and understanding, and do grant, dear Lord, that he may yet rejoice over others brought in to the house of prayer. And those who labor here with him, the little church and congregation, the blessing of the Lord God Almighty rest upon them, and that they may prove much of the dew of heaven, showers of blessing, crumbs of mercy, handfuls of purpose, visits of the Savior, glimpses of Christ, a sight of heaven. There's nothing, Lord, like this. Nothing to be compared to this. It's a little heaven on earth, just a little, Lord. And it's such the sweetness of the streams. What must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? We command to thee our dear friends who have gathered from various parts of the land, manifesting their love to thee and to this cause of truth and the dear friends here. Long journeys have been undertaken, preserving mercies have been given. Crown the day, Lord, with thy blessing, that these dear friends may not be impoverished by reason of their coming, or by the poverty of the poor man that stands before them. But, Lord, our riches are in thee. Thou hast promised to bless thy word, and we believe, Lord, the day has been preceded with much prayer, and we pray that thou wilt bless all now gathered, and thy dear servants, pastors, and visiting preachers, whom with affection we commend unto thee. The God of all grace, strengthen their hands, help them to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to hold fast, to continue in those things that they have learned, And Lord, may their souls be as a watered garden. Bless deacons and members of the churches, all who fear God, both great and small, the age, that they may be supported, made ready for the end, the middle age, to bear the burdens, through strength given day by day, the young and the babe, we bring to thee, for thou didst say, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Do bless the dear children, and may they early be led to hear the Saviour's voice, be numbered as lambs in the fold, carried in the arms of the shepherd, that they may grow up loving Jesus, serving Jesus, being found as pillars in the Church of God. Miss all our gatherings, we're conscious of sin, we're conscious of defilement. We pray that the blood may be sprinkled and applied upon the vessels of the ministry to the sanctuary. Pray for all that is breathing to thee may be cleansed. We come with thankfulness. We bless and praise thee for thy mercies, for thy great goodness, O God. We will now enter into thy gates with thanksgiving, and into thy courts with praise. And now, Lord, what wait we for? We wait for thee. Our hope is in thee. We pray for that help in the ministry, for that help in hearing the word. And may we lose sight of all but Jesus Christ, and see no man save Jesus only. Do preserve one from doing any damage among the tender plants of thy garden. May the words of my mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. We ask all in the name which is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
chapter 12, verses 20, 21, 22. John, chapter 12, verses 20, 21, 22. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. The words largely on mind are these: Sir, we would see Jesus. We are gathered this day through the mercy and abundant goodness of our God to see a new chapel, a sanctuary that the Lord has provided. And in doing so, we acknowledge with our dear friends the Lord's great goodness and mindfulness of them in all their difficulties and perplexities, their ups and their many downs. And perhaps we should put it the other way: it's most often down first and then up, as God appears and delivers. This little company and a few dear souls that fear God and love the truth, the Lord has been with them, and we're not unmindful of the help of friends in other places and in the trusts that have assisted them. And let me acknowledge this, for I feel it should be acknowledged at this time: the kindness of the General Baptist here in providing for our friends a place where for a time they were enabled to continue the services. We are thankful for this provision. We mark the literal construction of this sanctuary, which is, if I may name it, pleasing to one's eye. It is suitable for our church. It is simple, and yet it is, if we may so put it, worthy. It is symbolical of the simplicity of our worship. We thank God then for this provision. And we pray that this literal building may be made a very sacred spot We pray that as the former building was sound, that this may be the birthplace spiritually of many. We would seek and earnestly desire that yet those other sheep may be gathered in, and where those other sheep are, God only knows. We are assured of a time appointed when every sheep and lamb will be gathered in the arms of the shepherd who loved them and gave himself for them. But this is for the encouragement of the Church of God as a bride. And I pray that the Holy Spirit may move afresh in our churches, in our souls, and grant to us this sacred, a spiritual travail, longing and yearning for the souls of those outside, and that as Zion travails, there may be bringing forth burnt spiritual children. Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. We are comforted, we are assured that our dear friends here stand in the old paths. They stand upon the truth as revealed in the Word of God, and by the grace of God, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We pray God to bless the ministry of his word, his servants who labor, the servants that are read, the word of God as read. Don't forget to pray over that part of service, friend. It's not just a feeling the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of worship. I tell my dear people at home, it's the best part because it's the best word. Don't hang it all on the sermon. It's God's word that we're reading. Pray over it. As the minister stands up to read, pray, Lord, bless me in it. Let me hear thy voice. Give me an understanding spiritual of the scriptures. Let me see some fresh beauty revealed there, another glimpse of Christ. We gather then and behold the literal sanctuary, and we rejoice with our friends here. We thank God and we take courage. As we are gathered, we see one another. This is not to be despised. There is a particular, there is a peculiar love among the dear saints of God. There is a tie in gospel bonds. There is a fellowship. There's a unity of the Spirit. This unity is forged on truth, doctrine, in the love of Jesus Christ, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. So, and we rightly acknowledge it. We rejoice to see those whom we love in the Lord and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the prosperity of Zion, pray let brotherly love continue, and pray that our conversation may be edifying, may be to the glory of God, to be preserved from denominational gossip, and that which is unprofitable and unbecoming to the saints of God. Let us remember the words in Malachi of those who feared God, that they spake often one to another. And my friend, may it not be about one another unless it is in the spirit of love and ever remembering that thou, God, seest me. And ever remembering that the smallest, if I may name it as such, in the family of God, is as dear to God as the apple of the eye. And whoso toucheth, hurteth, harmeth any, will be, as it were, touching the Almighty God. So we view a new building. So we meet one with the other. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. But is this all? No further desire. Is that all, my friend? You come today to this place so that I speak tender. Let's be honest with ourselves. We can go home and describe the chapel and say how many friends were there. Not that that's wrong. I don't mean that entirely. But is that all? It's going to be a very empty day, isn't it? A very empty day, isn't it? Well, now, what do you say? Can you come in? Perhaps there's some soul here. I believe there are many. I have a good hope that it is so. Who come with a desire. You love this little people here at Peterborough. They find, and I'm not flattering, a warm place in our hearts. You love these dear people. Some you know, some you don't. But you are. You know, sometimes as we look at the very building, I used to look at the old course where I was brought up, and I look at the course now where I'm a pastor, and really I love the literal building. I remember speaking once to a very dear deacon who contends very earnestly for the truth, and who for many years, ever so many years, has served God in a particular cause. And the literal things that are needed in that chapel, he seemed to know, and all the concerns. And I once said to him, I believe you love this place. And his eyes filled with tears. My friend, don't seem to be getting on very far to the text this afternoon, but you know, I wonder whether we do thank God for the sanctuary. There's no soldiers outside ready to arrest and take us to prison to put us to torture, concentration camps. The Bible isn't snatched from my hand, my lips are not sealed. We can go in and out freely, so far. How thankful we should be for this privilege, and how I say we should remember those in other lands. I know we do not know, but there are saints there that are suffering in this strife. I'm sure that we perhaps in this Western world know but very little how we should pray for them, and how we should not neglect coming to God's house whenever we can. But let me return to my point. I say, is this all? My dear friend, have you come with this desire? Yes, all that you said, I do follow. I'm ever so pleased to see the people, ever so pleased to see the sanctuary, but all I do want is something of my soul. Is there some poor thing that struggled here today? Perhaps you nearly been knocked down by the devil. And you've been afraid almost of a special occasion. Unless it won't be a spiritual occasion. I know the desire of our dear friends here is expressed in these words. It was not expressed in exactly the words, but when I met our dear friend, it was in similar words. My friend, my great God, your blessings. Now I must come now more particularly to the subject, and I want just to notice a little of these verses. I've read all three verses for the psalm tonight because, to me, I thought there was something, as there is, of spiritual instruction. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, I'm not going to speak about Greeks. I do know that before the Roman power, which was largely reigning at this time, it was the Greek power, as we have in the book of Daniel. Again, that this was the language much used, because as you will remember, the inscription that was upon the cross was in Latin, letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. But by the word Greeks here, I feel this sets forth spiritually for our meditation and for our encouragement the Gentiles, or more particularly the strangers. Now, is this a boat adventure? Is there some poor thing come this afternoon to God's house and they look at the saints and they feel, I'm not one of them, but I do long to be one of them. I feel to be rather a stranger. Could there be room for me? Could there be a blessing for me? Could there be something of my soul? You know, as I was meditating upon this in our friend's home, and using, as one often does, a marginal reference Bible, the steps took me back into the Old Testament, a very wonderful word. You know, my friends at home would know that sometimes it's just one word of Scripture. I see such beauty in it. I'm sure you do too. Go back to the occasion when Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. And there, what a wonderful building that was. But I say he prayed to God. And he's helped in his prayer. How reverent he is in his prayer. How unworthy he feels to approach and go, and let me name this as it comes down to my mind. May ever there be in our sanctuary and in our hearts that reverence as we take the name of God upon our lips as we worship God. But this was the word. As Solomon is praying, this temple, this place of worship for Israel, but he says, moreover, Lord, my heart is drawn in love, in prayer, and desire, but not only for my national people, not only for Israel, literal, but there'll be some others that will be drawn to this place. I must pray for them. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel. Now, my dear friend, you stranger, feelingly, you that are hoping in the mercy of God, you that may feel, I'm such a sinner, I live in a country so far from God's dear people, but I've come, and do you know what it is to come and to pray? Paul, you say, I don't know. You don't answer questions very easily, do you? And that's a good mark, because you're honest, friend, and the fear of God will make you honest. But I would see if the Holy Spirit is pleased to help to encourage. You say you don't pray. Do you ever groan? Ever know something about sin? Ever know a cry for mercy? Ever know what it is to come as that dear man in the temple of old, yea, that stood right there at the back and smiting upon his breast and crying from his very heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? So there were certain priests among them that came up to worship. The Lord bless you, dear friend, and encourage you. And I'm assured of this, if you've been brought to think on his name and hope in his mercy and venture to him in prayer and look alone to Jesus, confessing your sin and trusting only in him, he's put you among the children. It's like that one in the Acts, that Ethiopian that had been up to Jerusalem for to worship. And you know, he was coming back in his chariot. And he was reading the word of God. Is the Bible a closed book to you outside God's house? Do you know what it is, dear friend, to read? And long for someone to come and instruct you in it. The Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, or lead his servant. Do you ever ask God's servant to come and sit down by you? You children may wonder, whatever I mean by that. I mean simply this, not literally that they come out of the pulpit and sit down beside you, but as it were, led of the Spirit to take up that scripture and open it up and grant a little help. And confirm. Well, I mustn't enlarge further upon that, dear man, but you know, as Philip went and drew near, led of the Spirit, There's nothing haphazard there. Never, never. These things are solid. Blessed. That's what we want in the sanctuary, in the pulpit, in the pew. The evidence of the power, working, purpose of the Holy Spirit. The appointed time, the set time to favor. And beginning of the same scripture, he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. And that longing song received the good news of salvation. Well, here then there were these certain Greeks that came up to worship at the feast. Well, I don't know how it is with you, friend, but this matter, this word worship, pretty much tries me. I wonder how much worship there is really in our life. We gather as worshippers. We gather to worship. But how often do we really worship? And this I would name as the utter humbling of ourselves, prostration of self, emptying of self, nothingness of self, and to bow before the great God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in spirit and in truth, to worship Him. In the spirit of confession, repentance, supplication, thanksgiving, and of praise, to put all the crown on his head and ascribe all the glory unto him. Let me use an example in the Old Testament, and here, of course, it must be spiritualized. There was Ruth, the Moabitess, the stranger from Moab. And you know how, and she was steadfastly minded. I love those words. She couldn't be put off. She couldn't be turned back. Though she was a stranger, though she didn't know where she was going, though the future was all hidden, but this one thing she knew, Moab she didn't want. The gods of Moab she wouldn't serve. She wanted to stick to Naomi. And wanted to know the secret of a real religion that she could see in the poor woman who said, and shortly after, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. But she could see something there. And she was after it. And thank God she wanted to be heard of. And that determination turned her back upon the world. And so, my friend, what I was coming to, she came. And came into the harvest field, and her hat, the hand of God, directing the steps into that part of the field belonging to Boaz. Oh, why was I made to hear his voice and enter one of this room while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? As you come, my friends, together this afternoon into this house of prayer, oh, is it not a wonder why was I not saturating my life up with the wickedness and evil and the immorality of this dark world and evil thing? But there's nothing better in me than those without an angel. My friend, and as she came into this field, and Boaz spake to her, how poor Ruth, she just bowed herself to the ground. She couldn't get low enough. Dear old Mr. Sanferry said that as times of blessing of his God, I can't get low enough. And that's just it, friend. If you talk about blessings of heaven and lift you up with pride, I can assure you something sadly wrong. But it is a blessing, and it will dissolve your heart, it will break your heart, it will melt your spirit, it will humble your pride, and it will draw you to Christ. And I say, He'll be everything and you'll be nothing. And why should I have found grace in thy sight? And that thou shouldest have taken knowledge of me, that I am a stranger. That thou shouldst speak so to thy handmaid. That thou shouldst speak such a kind word. It's a wonder that you haven't driven me out of the field. I'm not one of thy handmaidens. Ah, but says Boaz, come. You come, and here's the parched corn, and so forth, and to the reapers. Look, don't you forget, you drop a handful of purpose. There's something there to glean. Are you one of those things like this? These certain Greeks, these strangers that have come up to worship, and the thieves, has there been a handful of purpose for your soul? And now let us look at this word, the thieves. Oh, and if we think of the feast here, surely we must think first that this would in some way set forth the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And spiritually, this sets before us the gospel, which is a feast of good things. We speak of the gospel as the gospel table. It's spread. It's full of good things. It will never be cleared away like our tables at home. Never be exhausted. And the wonder at this table is that the King at the table, and this King who is Jesus, received beggars there. Received the worst of sinners there. If it wasn't so, I couldn't be there myself. I couldn't preach him. But he received them, and he received enemies. Those that meant for themselves did rebel against him. The worst of sinners. And this gospel is free. And he permits poor sinners to come. And the King sitteth at his table, and my slave God sendeth forth a spell thereof. King Jesus is the feast. Oh, you say, but I don't think I've ever feasted. Some of you here were. I believe my soul once or twice has feasted from the day. And it's been such a feast. And it's a foretaste of heaven. I think of the time just before I was baptized, on memorable Lord's Day evening, when it seemed my friend, well, it was the cup running. It seemed as though the Lord poured in through the ministry of my late beloved pastor, blessing upon blessing in the ministry. He couldn't hold out much longer. But it's not always to us, perhaps, that we feast. And I believe the Lord has, I feel at times, commissioned me particularly to encourage these trembling ones, because the poor man is a trembling one before you, a seeking one, a hoping one. Friend, do you come into the God's house hungry? You know, what is the table of a feast if you're full up? If your heart is full with the world, and I say deliberately, no room for Christ, and that's not free will, you'll understand what I mean. But I say, do you know what it is? When you come, oh, come, give Christ for that. I die. I perish. I perish with hunger. I've been a fool. I'm in a far country. I turned my back. I deserve to perish. But I'll go. I'll go to my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned. And look at the feast, prophetic calf. Look at the provision, the clothing, the welcome home, and look to crown it all. That peace, the Father's love, embrace, compassion. And I don't read that the poor lad ran, but the father did. He ran to meet him. That's the gospel. And this is the feast for my soul and yours too, if you know what it is, friend, to hunger after these things and long. And I say, is it substantial food? I say, a taste of this? And you'll say, away with all the silver and gold and pomp and glory of this world. I'm a secret religion, a secret that the world knows nothing of. I'm a satisfaction. They should inherit substance, the reality of it, the preciousness of it, the power of it, the suitability of it, the nourishment of it, the strengthening through it. It's a theme. But I come back again. I must come back again to that one that struggled here. And my friend, I say, isn't there a crumb? A crumb of mercy? Hasn't there been, I say, something for your soul? And I sometimes thought of this, a handful of pearls. It's ever so small. I once stood in a big harvest field in Wiltshire, and I took in my hand just a few grains. I thought, what a little compared with that whole field. But it was real. They were grains. You take a crumb, you children, you see a big loaf on your bread board, and you just take a crumb. Ever so little, isn't it, compared with the loaf? But he's part of it. And my soul, has there been for thee a crumb of mercy falling from the master's table for you, that poor, wretched, weak, weary, lost, ruined thing, hoping in his mercy? And I tell you this, if there's been that crumb, if there's been that handful of purpose, the devil will try and snatch it, but you won't get it up, and you can't get it up. And my faith is yours, because God has given it to you. And you'll know what it is to hang on to it and to cling. And there were certain Greeks among them who came up to worship the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. This was one desire that they had. I don't know how far these Greeks had journeyed, whether they might have been living in that area, could have been. It doesn't matter, does it? What does matter is it, I don't need to know whether you come from Surrey, as I have today, or whether you come just from Peterborough. But what I do ask, have you come with a desire? What is that desire? Is it Jesus? And the desire of all nations, as Haggai speaks of it. One thing I desire of the Lord, says the psalmist, this dear Jesus, desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Then Philip, come in. He has to tell somebody else, and that tells Andrew about it. Rather nice is this. And you know, sometimes, and I do like, I'm a simple-minded man as I come to the scriptures, and I find there's some sweet simplicity in this, and so suitable how sometimes we hear perhaps of the desire, spiritual desire of someone seeking Jesus. And one godly friend may tell another. Why? Now that's spiritual, not gospel. But they might pray together. I believe so and so. I can see something there. I see that young person. I believe there's a little change. I believe they want real things. Now, and you know, perhaps it may be a deacon talking to a deacon, or a minister to a minister. Or a friend to a friend. It would be, and I don't want to stretch this scripture, but it just comes to me like this. A father to a mother. I remember the dear minister telling me of how one night he and his wife heard their girl, I think she was about age of 15, crying. They went along to find out, of course, what was wrong. She was crying over her sin. That was music. Music to those dear parents. I say how sweet then it is to talk to one another. But they didn't stop there, did they? And I must close this afternoon with this. Tell Jesus. It's beautiful. It's so simple. I knew a little boy who was bereaved in his school days of a very loving father, and he had a very dear, wealthy grandchild. And one day the little boy was going off to school, and it was rather a hard time, he'd been bullied. And he went up to his granddad and said, "Tell Jesus about it." Ever so simple, isn't it? But my friend, if there was more telling of Jesus to Jesus, we carry so much ourselves. Instead of casting the burden upon him. It's just like Simon's wife's mother, you know, was sick of a fever. They didn't think at first to tell Jesus, but they're not. They suddenly came, well, they haven't told Jesus. And perhaps there's someone carrying something you haven't told Jesus. Perhaps there's somebody with church trouble, family trouble. Perhaps you've told the, Philip has told the Andrew, and you're trying to carry it together, and you're staggering. Well, you go and tell Jesus. Well, friend, that's a different sermon than I insisted on. I must leave it and pray that the Lord will bless the few somewhat rambling thoughts.